Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Exploring Consciousness podcast. I'm your host, Donna Rebido. This podcast is a field guide for people who would like some help and guidance on their spiritual path. I introduce, review, and share consciousness in its many dimensions. This is for the curious adventurer who isn't afraid of asking for help. So dream, dare, and let's begin today's episode. Hello, Exploring Consciousness podcast listeners. Welcome to the show. Today we have a very special guest, a very good friend of mine, Tracy Fitzgerald. And we met at a Dr. Joe Advanced Workshop in Tampa, Florida, and just hit it right off and been good friends for the last 4 or 5 years. So welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna, for having me. It's great to be here with you today.
The audience has already heard a small bio about you, but can you introduce yourself with regard to how you got started down the path when you can go with Dr. Joe, your meditations, your awareness art studio, wherever you'd like to begin?
Sure. Great. Thank you. So after a lifetime of seeing sound, energy, and music, angels began showing up for me back in August of 2019 after my 9-hour brain surgery. And they told me that they were the ones that have been here my entire life, that I've been seeing them in different forms, and they've been showing up trying to get my attention. And needless to say, I was resistant. They've been showing up since I was 4. So as you can imagine, a child in the 60s, growing up in the 60s and 70s, saying that she sees music and she sees things, you know, I was told that I was crazy. I was told to not speak of such things. I was shut down over and over again. And thankfully, the angelic realm continued to show up for me. And I had a multitude of mystical experiences or mini miracles throughout my entire life that continued to guide me to this awareness that there was always something greater.
Is the only time they ever showed themselves to you was in 2019? It was just more of a feeling before that?
I mean, I remember my first recollection in church as a 4-year-old of seeing this amazing flickering lights coming down. And I would see them in nature. I had an experience where I jumped off a boat when I was a child and I went down and I didn't know which way was up. And I had an angel pull my hand and bring me back to the surface. So they showed up in a multitude of these little ways throughout my entire life. It was in the 90s that I kind of opened back up to searching for more, trying to understand it better for myself, and that I became what some would call a spiritual seeker. And I began meditating and exploring different teachings back then about self-realization and non-duality and self-inquiry and meditation, which I still incorporate today in my meditation practice of asking who is the I behind the I that is asking. And when you sit with that, it opens you up to greater realms of consciousness. So I kind of dove back in the 90s of trying to get beyond myself because I carried a lot of stressors inside of myself, but I was determined to get beyond it. And I mean, I worked with a shaman for 20 years. I took a million courses, a million certifications. And fast forward to 2008, I became an acupuncturist. I worked with the spirit of the points. I had done the physical, mental, emotional, and diving into the spirit of the points. It was a beautiful way to practice, but it's still, I was like, it's not it. There's more. Intuitively, I knew there was something. I just didn't know what it was. But as life reflects back to you, what you're sending out, in 2015, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. It was the blessing of a brain tumor that accelerated my spiritual journey. And that led me to meeting you at the Dr. Joe Dispenza workshop. I started my first workshop with him in 2015. I had a Kundalini experience at the Progressive. I had done a Kundalini yoga teacher training 20 years before and never had anything close to this. You know, my head pop off, as they say. And so I was hooked right away. And I had amazing healings. I mean, I had a multitude of healings in that 5-year journey. It's been an amazing journey.
What intrigues me is that you're a registered nurse. You're not someone who is flighty. I mean, you were totally both feet on the ground, even though you were on a spiritual path. You were very present and had to be very present in your RN practice.
Right. So as a registered nurse, My husband calls me pragmatic. You know, he's like, you're still with all of this angel stuff going on. He's like, you're very pragmatic. I'm like, I love science. I love the intersection of science and spirituality. I love exploring Eastern and Western worlds and how all that came together. So I do think I have a very grounded sense of being present. And I love medicine. You know, I love exploring it. I love all of that. So it's been an interesting ride opening up to the angels for me.
Talk a little bit about the artwork that you do.
You know, I see energy in music, and I've seen that since a very young age. And of course, back in the 60s and 70s, when I would try and describe how I would see energy, you know, people would be like, what are you tripping on? You know, and so I shut that down and that started back up. So I see energy and essence around everyone. When I do private sessions now, I see angels. So whether I'm trying to capture somebody's energy or essence or the angels that I see around them, it's kind of like if you take kaleidoscopes and stretch 50 or 100 of them out around a room and have them interacting with the energy of each other and everything around it. It's that kind of movement that I see. And so I try and compress all that down and get it on canvas, which is very challenging to get it into this, you know, one or two dimensional state. And sometimes pieces will have 5 layers. And when I used to do bigger pieces, they would have 30 or 40 layers. And the interesting thing was that most people could only see a couple of layers, that I was the one that was creating it and putting it all in there. So they're very time consuming. They're fun to do. I do them on a commission basis for people if people are interested. I know we did a beautiful one for you that showed your groundedness, showed that you have that groundedness also. I remember you have that earthy clay-like color, but then this beautiful violet illumination that shines over all of it. And I added crystals to the paintings as well to kind of capture somebody's spirit and essence. So they're fun and challenging and time consuming at the same time.
Did you start your artwork at a young age?
I began painting. I mean, I remember, you know, as a 5-year-old, the first time I had my fingers in finger paints, and I began creating what I would see back in the 60s. I loved music, and our house was a little dysfunctional, but we always had music on. So the soulful, the Motown sounds of the 60s are what saved me, because I could see them, right? Same thing, right? So it was like, I could see that music and it started to be vibrant and light. And I painted the walls in my room as a kid. My mother was always like, what the heck are you doing? And I was just constantly trying to recreate it. And when I opened back up to my spiritual path in the 90s, I started painting mandalas then. I did a lot of larger round ones. And I painted those on commission and did those for quite some time. So it's fun. I do it more for my own fun and enjoyment right now as well.
So you're going down the path. You know that there's beings around you and you're very pragmatic. You became a nurse. You wanted to follow a spiritual path. You saw the spirituality of the 5 element.
Acupuncture.
The 5 element. It's more spiritual than TCM. And you have a tumor. When I met you at Dr. Joe's, I know all of us were really trying to send you a lot of energy to knock that tumor out. So can you talk to us about how you felt prior to the surgery and then what the heck happened to you in the shower after the surgery?
Well, in that February 2017 retreat, I had an amazing healing because everybody was sending me an amazing amount of energy. And during the pineal gland meditation, I broke through. I broke through the veil of reality, like blue, white light, like 1,000 diamonds just opened up and I was beyond the beyond. And I literally felt like I was graced by the hand of the divine. Like I felt it on the side of my head. All the energy started moving through. I had, my hearing was diminished about 90% prior to that. And it came back 100% when I came out of that. So it was an amazing experience.
When you came out of that, and I didn't know you at the time, but how remarkable it was for me to listen to you talk about your hearing.
I have goosebumps just remembering, because yes, it was truly remarkable. You know, I was literally sitting on the edge of my chair. I felt like I was about to fall off the chair, and something in me just let go, and this amazing awareness of breaking through showed up for me. And I can still get moved by it. It still can bring me to tears because it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life, of literally being graced by the hand of the divine. And church was a challenge for me growing up. And so trusting in the divine was a challenge for me. And so I was a doubter. And so this experience just opens me up to that place of unconditional love that I had never truly, truly, truly known before. And it was life-changing. It was totally life-changing. In 2014, I started getting blackout headaches. I had been very healthy my entire life. I never took an aspirin. I don't take any medications. And I started getting blackout headaches, literally for split seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe 15. Take me to my knees, want to pee in my pants. Everything goes black and out of nowhere. And I was like, what the heck? And so being an acupuncturist, living in Boulder, where every alternative therapy under the sun is available, I spent a year trying to do nutrition, you know, everything, every other modality I explored. And finally, after a year, I went to the doctors, and my MD, she set me up for a CT scan and an MRI, and I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. From the top of my head up here into my shoulder had felt like cement. It was just nothing was moving through there. No matter what I did, left, right, male, female, this, that, you know, everything that you think of, nothing acupuncture, nothing was moving until that experience of being graced by the divine. It was like everything just like energy just started moving through. My shoulder released because everything was pulling. My scapula was tight. Everything was rising up. Everything just released. And I was like, oh, it was amazing. It was a beautiful, life-changing experience. And it led me to continue, needless to say, down the path with Dr. Joe. I went to a couple of advanced follow-ups that same year in Portland and one in Amelia Island. In 2018, I went to Cancun for another week-long retreat. That was the second time I was invited into the coherence healing. It was a really interesting workshop that during the workshop, before the coherence healing, I kept hearing Dr. Joe say, as if he was pushing a button on my forehead, are you going to continue to be a victim to your fears? And I was like, what? Like, what the hell? Like, you know, like my tumor's still growing. I've had this amazing healing. Surgery is still looming. And being a nurse, knowing that there's a possibility of brain surgery coming. I mean, you're as a nurse, you're trained to look for everything that can go wrong to prevent it before it goes wrong. So you know too much, as the doctor said. They're like, you know too much. And I'm like, damn right I do. And so those fears were still, even though I had done a ton of work and I was determined to work through them, they were still in there, insidious inside of me. And so when he was saying, are you going to continue to be a victim to your fears? I was like, F no, like I'm done with this. You know, I was so done. And I had been lucky enough to be selected to go into a coherence healing on the third day. And before I went in, I went back into my room and I got down on my hands and knees and I screamed it out. And I was like, I'm done. God, spirit, consciousness, I am done. Whatever fears are left within me, please. Please. Like, I am done holding this, you know, my entire life. I'm 60, whatever years old at the time. I'm done. And I went into the coherence healing room, which was beautiful. And by the time I was in the larger room with the group of eight around us, I had another phenomenal experience where I released everything, whatever physical traumas were still left in my body, whatever fears were still holding on. I mean, I was one of those people that was levitating off the floor, flapping around, moving. I remember lying there and hearing wailing, crying, like coming from way above me. And at some point, my awareness was like, oh, crap, that's me, you know? But I mean, it was just, it released, you know, all that was left, completely released. And it was just the undoing of those last pieces. I came out of that and I came home and I knew that I was changed forever. I didn't have those fears. I knew that if I went into surgery, I was free. If I lived, if I died, or anywhere in between, I was free. I was so free. And I had spent my whole life, you know, searching for that place of freedom inside of myself. And that was my healing. You know, some people say like, well, you had to have surgery. And I'm like, well, my goal was to be tumor free. And I had to go through surgery to be tumor free. But my freedom was in that experience. And I left that coherence healing. I went home. I released 25 pounds off my body. I mean, I got in the healthiest shape I had been in since I was young. Everything felt in alignment. The greatest neurosurgeon that I ever could have imagined, that doesn't normally take the cases that I was, took my case. And everything came into alignment and it was time to have surgery. And I went in absolutely trusting in the divine because of my journey of all these experiences. And I knew that everybody, you and everybody else in the meditation group, were holding me, you know, holding me in prayer and meditation. And I felt it. I felt it. And I was expected to, normally there's a 4 to 5 day recovery in the hospital, and I was discharged in 2 days.
Yeah, we were all shocked. We got to tell you.
Right.
We were like, all right.
It was amazing. And I came home 2 days later and I woke up at 4 a.m. I didn't take a pain pill. They had to convince me to take a pain pill for the ride home from the hospital in Houston up to here from MD Anderson. They had to convince me to take one. And I was like, I don't need one. And I never took another one, and not an aspirin, anything. But I came home after those 2 days. And again, that's where my life changed. And I woke up 4 a.m. And again, this, like, I'm just moved by it because it's phenomenal. My life has never been the same. I woke up at 4 a.m. and instead of my head being split open from here to here, I had a nice 7-inch scar and 29 stitches. It felt like my body was split open from head to toe. And I was wide open. I mean, I was wide open. There was no separation from the greater consciousness of all that is. I was part of it. These amazing dimensions that I could see, like waves in front of me of all the dimensions, multitudes and multitudes of dimensions. The only way I can describe it, because words are so limiting, were just there in front of me. And it was there, like they're right here, as this close as the breath. And it was the greater I am consciousness. And for weeks and weeks and months on end, I awoke to this place and I was open. I was part of, I was receiving, I was allowing, I was generating, and I was creating all of this consciousness all at the same time. And without any effort on my part, it was just happening. It was just happening to me. And it was the most magnificent, beautiful thing. And then I started receiving what I call, for lack of a better word, downloads of information. For me, they just came in like these big sheets, like thousands of feet tall and literally thousands, like, and it was crazy. It was an amazing amount of wisdom, knowledge, intelligence beyond description. I saw things from other worlds, other lights that we don't see on this planet. Like I said, its words are limiting. There's places, fractions, vibrations, tablets, pictographs, harmonies, colors. I mean, things just kept. And I would wake up every morning and I'd be like, hold on. And just everything opened to this place. And it was easy too, at the same time, to see. Then these amazing beings started showing up at the end of my bed. And they would show up, same thing every morning. And there was 12 beings floating at the end of my bed. And from the left to the right, it was a semicircle and they got a little bit smaller. And they were there for weeks on end and there was no communication at all. But they were there. They were moon glow. They had the shape of like a caped body. They floated. They didn't have feet. But there was just this loving presence. It was very comforting. I also got a little silly because after some time with no communication, I was like, do I need to say the magic password? Like, what's going on here? Like, okay, I see you already. And finally, one of them communicated with me. They said there are 12 great masters. They call themselves the Council of 12. They still come to me, not as frequently, but they come in meditation. And it's interesting because at first I was trying to identify of like, okay, who is that one? I mean, this one, but their energies are interchangeable. It's a very interesting place for me to explore, to be with them. And for right now, when they do come in, it's a very private experience with them. And it's very, very beautiful. So then not long after that, I had my first experience of an angel showing up in the shower of all places.
I have some other friends that when they had their spiritual awakening and they began realizing that they were seeing things, many of them talk about, you know, they showed up in the shower.
Really? Yes. I think there's something about the shower, you know, it's cleansing and we were in the moment. And at least for me, like I love water. Water is my thing. I mean, it surprised me when they showed up, but I was like, afterwards, I was like, okay, it's the shower. So yeah, there's something cleansing it in the moment when we're in that place. Yeah. So my first experience was literally washing my hair, you know, turning around and this big 10, 12 foot tall moon globe being. And I thought it was one of the great masters. And then I saw movement down to the left and I looked down towards the ground, you know, this big moon glow in front of me and this cape-like energy moved off and I saw this wing-like appearance and it was, I mean, it was huge, 10, 12 foot tall. It had like a sinewy, but it was also reflective. It's not like feathers like we know it. It had kind of that similar appearance, but it was this brilliant reflective wing-like appearance. And I was like, oh my gosh, this was crazy. And it extended its wing up and out to the side and it was 10 to 12 foot wing. And then it did the other one. So it's like 24 foot wingspan through the walls. And I'm just standing there just like you are right now, like, holy, like in mouth open, trying not to drown in the shower. And then it lifted its wings up overhead and it brought them down over me like this. And it just dipped down over the top of my head. And it rained down, and so I get goosebumps, this most beautiful, peaceful energy of the divine that just rained right down over me. And it was like everything just like, instead of that awe and like, what the heck, I just relaxed into that place. And from there, they began showing up. They showed up again in the shower. Next times I saw them, it was literally in a tree in my backyard. And I was literally like, what? One of them was just like, we're just hanging out here for you. Like, we've been trying to get your attention for 60 years. Here we are finally. And I began seeing them everywhere. I began seeing them driving down the street. For me, it was interesting because I can see them with my eyes open and I can see them with my eyes closed. People ask me that a lot. I can see them with my eyes closed in meditation, but also they can appear in this place and I can hear them sometimes quite literally. That's always a little surprising, but then they also can just commune and send me messages in meditations. It's always an interesting way when I'm with them. They began showing up and they began giving me these messages, these little love messages. And I started writing them down. I wrote down notes for months, thankfully, because it was so much information. I couldn't keep track of it all. But then they said, you know, share our messages of love with humanity. And I was like, what? Like me? I'm like, what do you mean? I don't think so. I'm more of an introvert than not. So that was way out of my comfort zone. And they literally started to energetically break through. And it felt like they dropped these little, was like little Powerpuff bombs. I could physically feel. And they were like, share our messages. And so when they started doing that, I was like, okay, I will pay attention. And so I did. I started posting messages on Instagram and Facebook for about 9 months. And then one day in meditation, they said to me that they wanted to channel through. And I was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, I had never been an angel person. I had never, you know, somebody had given me an angel deck a couple of years before. And I, you know, unfortunately, I just like gave it to somebody else. I was like, okay, thanks. But it was just not my thing. So then when angels wanted to channel through, I was like, what? And I was like, no, like I've done what you said, but like, this is not going to happen. Darth Vader is not coming through my mouth. I have no idea what channeling is, but that was my fear and my thought. I was resistant and they were persistent. And in meditation, this little group of angels like came through me and it was delightful. It was childlike wonder and fun and laughter. And they just came through and I broke down in just this fit of laughter and joy. They were like, can we come through like this? Is this okay? And I was like, okay, yes, thank you. I will have more of this, please. What they identify themselves as the angel of simplicity and joy, and that they're a group of five. I originally thought it was three, but there's five little ones that come through. They open every channeling session with this laughter. I get clear and get out of the way. I'm not doing anything. They show up and they are the ones that invite in the other angels. And we've just had a phenomenal group of different angels show up for us in the Calling in the Angels group sessions over the past year and a half. So it's been a wild ride of resisting, of doubting, and then just trusting and believing. And it, you know, it's beautiful to sit with and be a part of and allow this place of unconditional love to permeate everything. Because that greater consciousness of all that is made of a part of unconditional love that's easy and it unfolds for us and it's easy. I used to think everything was a struggle and it's not, and it doesn't have to be.
That whole story is so powerful, Tracy. What is it that they want to share? I mean, they said share it with the world. Your name came to me in a download in a meditation. And that's how I get my guests, you know, because I'm like, okay, I'm not in charge of this. You gave me this download, so you're going to have to give me the guests. And you can talk to them like that when you know them, can't you?
Right, exactly.
So your name came up recently, says it's time for Tracy.
Beautiful.
So did you get a sense of that, or what is it that they want to share?
So I did get a sense of it. Like I said, I'm pretty much an introvert, but I've been doing these sessions. I do group sessions online called Calling in the Angels, where anybody's allowed to join online. They're about 90 minutes and I allow the angels to channel through. I've been doing these for quite some time. And I also have a private group called A Year of Receiving, of that place of opening up to the depths of receiving. So for me, I really had to get comfortable with speaking about this and allowing my voice to be heard and expressing the angels after shutting down my entire life in a multitude of ways. So I feel that I reached this place of being comfortable with this. So it's perfect that you invited me to be here to express them. And I had listened to one of your podcasts quite some time ago, and I remember thinking like, oh, that would be an interesting thing to do, but I'm not ready. I'm not really ready. I have no idea how the heck I would do that. And now like I feel ready because of all that I've done over this past year and how the angels have continued to support me. When this all began, I thought, oh gosh, you know, I'm going to be the crazy angel lady. And I thought, well, I've been called worse things in my life. This is just who I am now. And to be able to offer individual sessions where people can meet their own angels, and I offer group sessions for people to join in. So it's perfect divine timing, as they say.
It is. And all this is on the Companion website and all the links that she's talking about. You can be part of the group session and you can ask for a personal reading. Do people need to prepare for it? What should they expect?
Yeah, they can just contact me through my website, angelawareness.com, and we can set up an appointment. They're about 90 minutes. And so a private Meet Your Angel sessions, they're a little bit newer because not much is needed to prepare other than to have Zoom show up, have 90 minutes for yourself where you can sit back comfortable, uninterrupted, have an eye mask or headphones if you need, and plenty of downtime afterwards to integrate. Because what's happened recently is that a lot of my clients have requested, along with meeting their own angels, where I describe the angels that I see around them. And I invite the person to know them and name them, because they're their angels, so they can continue to call on them themselves, that they're here for them. And they get to ask some open-ended questions, because the angels are very clear that they're not here to tell us what to do. They'll give us guidance, but they're honoring our free will. And so they ask questions. And then the new part is that I take a few moments and get clear, and the angels channel through, like in the bigger group sessions, but the angels channel through to work on energetically that one person in front of me. And so it's very, very powerful to have that combination of meeting their angels and then the channeling of the energy to open up, and the angels work on the person energetically. They set their intention of what they need. Most of the time afterwards, people are kind of in a little bit of an altered state. And that's why I recommend a couple hours downtime afterwards, eat some food, drink some water. I send audio recording to them now the next day. I finally figured out, you know, how to do that, because I'm technologically challenged. Most of the time, people are just kind of like, whoa, that's amazing. Like, most of the time, they can't even speak, but it's very comforting for people to know, to get to know and experience their angels. And like I said, I describe their energy and essence and color to the best of my abilities. I get to see them, so that's exciting for me, but they get to know them, that they're there. So it's exciting for them. And everybody's different. Everybody responds differently. Everybody feels, senses, and knows differently. And some people respond right away. And some people come in and do a private session where they really get to tune in and to know their angels. And then they show up on the monthly sessions over and over again, because they're connected and they want to stay connected to that angelic realm. Some people do it the opposite. They'll do a number of sessions where we call on the angels, receive it that way in a bigger group setting, and then they want to know more. I have some people that have done multiple private sessions to really work through something on themselves. Everybody responds differently. Everybody shows up differently. Shift and change happens, and it's beautiful. I am not doing anything. Let me just say that. Other than describing on the first part, when the angels channel through, I'm out of the way. I am not doing anything. It's the angelic realms and those energies that are come through. And most of the time, because of the pandemic, it's been on Zoom, but I have done some in person, which is a lot of fun. And I hope to be able to do more of those in the future.
What's the greatest things that people learn about themselves from a personal reading, and how does that help them explore their own consciousness?
I think there's two major takeaways that in private sessions, especially, I show people how to tune into their own angels with their own senses. I mean, I see energy, and people are like, well, I don't see them. And I'm like, well, you know, I see music and I can't sing a note. What I work with them to get them to experience, to know and name their own angels, we discuss how they take information in, and I encourage them to use their own senses to experience the angels and the angelic realms from that way. And people start to begin to trust in that in themselves, which is the way of going in. Everything's within us. Everybody has their own unique abilities and ways. So I work with that. When they can drop in, and sometimes that takes a multitude of sessions. I have some clients that have shown up frustrated, but they show up for themselves over and over again. You know, they're willing to do it. That's the beautiful thing. And when they get it and they're able to drop in and explore and trust in their own way of being and their own way of allowing and their own way of connecting and experiencing, and they have that experience of unconditional love with the angelic realms, it's a beautiful thing to witness. So they come to that place of deep internal knowing and feel the love and feel the support. And they don't have to try and figure it out from up here. It's not from an intellectual point of view. It's that connection to that greater I am consciousness that they have the experience of. So to me, that's a beautiful thing to witness, to be a part of when people drop into that place. That's where creation and manifestation for our lives expresses from, as a part of, as a connection to, and being the greater consciousness of all that is.
So the one phrase that kind of frustrates me is when people say seeing is believing. said, no, not really. Trust is believing.
Trust is believing. That's perfect.
Trust is believing. So right. You have five senses. But
right.
You're going in other dimensions where we have capabilities that we don't have here. For example, not many people communicate via telepathy. You know, right. I don't sit here and go, okay, Tracy, do you know what the next question is? No, we have to verbalize. It's really trusting in yourself and don't get caught up in just, but I've got to see them. One of the greatest senses is to feel them.
Is to feel them, yes.
So would that be some good advice for people wanting to come to you, try to develop their other senses?
Yes. You know, I was a doubter my whole entire life. I had early childhood trauma. So a lot of people that do, you don't trust, you know, and it's hard to get past trust and doubting into that place of feeling and experiencing unconditional love. And that's when I work with people individually, but it is about feeling. I think when we can move into that place of feeling inside of ourselves and not be attached to seeing or not to be attached to music or sound or experiencing things, but it's feeling is healing, as they say. One of the greatest programs I did was back in the 90s was somatic yoga therapy class based on movement and getting the issues in your tissues to feel that and to move them through. It is a feeling experience. Some people are very auditory and analytical, and they have a way of understanding information and patterns and putting things together that's way beyond me. They're like, oh, so you mean it's kind of like this, this, and this? And I'm like, that's brilliant. Yes. Yes. That's it for you. And so to trust in their own knowing.
A lot of times people tell me, oh, I can't meditate. I hate meditating. What is meditation to you? Is it important? Is there a simple way to do meditation?
I think meditation is important. I think the struggle that a lot of people have is that they think meditation is about silencing the mind and it's about quieting it down. There's a difference. You know, people go, oh, I can never meditate. I can't get quiet. They sit for 30 seconds in their minds like, da, 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 and they're like, I can't do this. And there's a difference in quieting the mind and in silencing the mind and perfectionism. I remember in the 90s when I first started meditating, I'd had my little alarm clock and 3 minutes later, like one eye would open, I'd be like, 3 minutes, okay, I'm good. To start somewhere in that place, because we're all so much in our heads. And I know that you know this from Chinese medicine, from the ancient Taoists, the head, the brain really resides in the heart. But we live in a culture where we're cut off from the neck up. Meditation for me is about quieting the mind and getting quiet enough to listen, to know, to feel, to go inward, to sense the greater I am consciousness. For me, in my online groups, it's a form of meditating with the angels, and anyone can join, and you don't have to have meditation experience. There's music in the background. Everything is guided. We go through a guided relaxation meditation. I invite people in to share in an angel invocation where we invite the angels in and where I get out of the way and the energy flows through and we have music and we're held. You know, that's a form of meditation right there. There's a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be sitting on the floor, cross legs and no mind. There's different ways to go in. So I invite anybody who's feeling challenged to join an angel session. It's a great place to start, and it can be that opening to that place of something greater.
Absolutely. And another thing that people have to realize is that you have help. The biggest thing are fears and struggles and learning to let go and suspend your belief. Just suspend your fear, suspend everything. Just put it off to the side and say, okay, when I'm done, I'll pick you back up.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly it.
For these 90 minutes, just right. Explore the possibility. What is the possibility that this is really an angel, even though you hear your own voice and that can mess you up too, but explore the possibility and listen.
You know, listen enough for those moments of space, of quiet. And over time, those can expand as well. And it is about suspending the doubt. I mean, I used to say it to my acupuncture clients at night when we can't sleep, right? And you want to drop into a little quiet meditation. Thank the brain. Thank you, brain, for all you've done all day long today. It's you've been amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's time to get quiet and drop into the heart. And if we think of dropping into the heart center, everything kind of goes like, whew, anxiety levels go down. We can come back into that present moment.
I love the importance of the breath you just brought up too.
Yeah.
So compartmentalize. Tell your brain to put it in a compartment, a dresser drawer. I'll be back to you in a little bit. Take a deep breath and right. Then find your heart. Find your feelings.
Find the feelings in the heart center.
Place that in your life that you had a moment of peace. Go to that place.
I have a class of meditating with the angels of grace that I'm going to start up again the beginning of the year. And it is more about that, more of the basics. In every group, I always start with a guided relaxation meditation to bring us into head and heart coherence and awareness of the breath. But when I do this one, it's going to have different music. It's going to be a little quieter, a little simpler of just going back to the basics and feeling the breath in the body. So many of us are tight. People are breathing from here up, and we got to drop down and relax into the awareness of the breath, which brings us into the awareness of the moment.
Speaking of awareness, how does the Art Awareness Studio help? Do people get to go there? Do they get to ask you for commissions like, hey, Tracy, you saw my angel. Can you paint one what it looks like?
Right.
I
have had that request.
who that request came from.
Right. And you can see that online on my website. It's under the Angel Awareness Art Studios page. So yes, I do those and try and capture the brilliance and beauty of someone's angels on acrylic and with crystals in a multitude of ways. So that is a joy as well. I'm lucky that I'm blessed to work in these joyous realms right now at this time in my life.
I think it's wonderful. I appreciate you sharing with us. Is there any other question either from the angels that they wanted to share or any other questions that I should be asking you at this time?
Well, I think a little bit more when you spoke about meditation, I started to say that I did a yoga therapy program in the 90s, and it was a type of somatic psychotherapy. But one of the things I learned about meditation, they asked us to do a daily meditation practice and a daily yoga practice. That portion of this 2-year program was 9 months. And I did it for the entire 2 years, and we had to journal about our daily practice. You know, and some days it was like, you know, everything's flowing, I'm tuned in. And other days it's like, oh my God, I can't sit here. I can't believe I have to do this. I'm done with this, you know, da 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 da. And to be committed and also to write it out was very powerful for me. I did it for 2 years, and that commitment to a daily practice and my feelings about it taught me a lot about myself, taught me a lot about my own inner awareness and my external awareness. And as I continued committing to that practice, my awareness continued to expand and access greater states of consciousness. So for me, I recommend a version of that for someone to commit to themselves if they're challenged and to write about it, to journal about your own feelings about it.
Tracy, is there one question you've never been asked, but you have an answer for, and you wish someone would ask? I'm kind of asking that question.
Yeah, yes. So it's a beautiful question. I love this question. Thank you. Throughout my life, when people have learned that I see energy around people, when I, you know, I see sound, I see music, but I see energy. When I was open to that and I was expressing that, one of the first things people wanted to know was, what's wrong with me? Well, what do you see? I want to know if there's something wrong. Do you see anything? And you can see the little bit of fear. But because of that initial reaction, it was part of the reason I kept it quiet and kept it shut down. But what nobody ever asked me, which I was always waiting for someone to say, is what is my radiance look like? What does my heart look like? What does my spirit look like? What does my magnificence look like? What is the essence of who I am look like?
Can you see my essence right now, Tracy?
Yes, I have goosebumps. I saw it from the beginning. It's that thing of honoring where people are at and respecting them to ask before you go there. And so you have this amazing, soft, yet powerful energy that you emit. Like this place of like just taking a breath, like you just dropped into another level of it, right? You can feel yourself going there now even deeper and deeper and deeper. And you are connected to that consciousness of all that is that radiates this beautiful, soft yet powerful glow. It's like if you took a freshwater pearl, you know how they're not quite a formed pearl, and they have those different illuminations around them. And if you took that and you spread it out all around your whole body, you radiate that. And when I see and open up to the greater consciousness of all that is, it has that in it. And so you are connected. You are powerfully connected to that essence and energy of all of that. And it's palpable and it's inviting and it's comforting. Like I said, it's strong and powerful, but in a very comforting way of inviting others into this place, into this essence of who you are. That's what your essence, just you glow in that place. You know, it's one of those things throughout my life, like I can be in a room full of people and I've always been like, oh, because sometimes I see too much. And then you see someone like you in that glow and you're like, oh, that's the one. Like, look at her. Like, that's amazing. You have this, like, it goes on for eons and eons in the greater cosmic consciousness. Goosebumps. But nobody ever asked that.
Well, Tracy, thank you. And boy, was I not expecting that. From my heart to yours, I appreciate what you've just said, and I thank you. So that's something that someone can ask you the same question and not come from fear or brokenness.
Yes, you know, I was there, you know, a large part of my life, but I also knew there was something beyond. And when I opened up after surgery, I've had all these miracles and when the hand of the divine, and we are all connected to this greater consciousness. We are all divinely, perfectly imperfect. You know, we're not meant to be perfect, and that is perfect. And when we can really know that and love ourselves unconditionally in that place, that's when we begin to radiate that and we realize we are not broken. We may have to get beyond our minds. We may have to work to get beyond our limited beliefs. We may have to work to get beyond our stresses and traumas in this physical realm, but that does not mean we're broken, that each and every one of us is an expression of the divine, of God, of the greater consciousness, whatever people choose to call it. We are each an expression of that in this human form that is not always perfect, but it's not broken. You know, when we label ourselves broken, which I did, you know, in my mind for many years, thinking that I need to fix this, you know, how do I fix this? How do I, you know, no wonder I went into nursing and the healing arts and all that to try and figure that out. But when we come to that place of true unconditional love of ourselves, we're like, oh, it's so much easier. It's so much easier. We're not broken. Yes. Do I have bad days like anybody else? Yes. I have to sit my butt down and say, like, okay, angels, help me out here. My mind is going off on a tangent here, and to take a breath and reconnect back into that place where we are not broken and we don't need to be fixed, that we're divine expressions. Each and every one of us, no matter what your past is, no matter what you have done or what you haven't done or what's happened to you or hasn't, none of that matters. And that's hard for some people to wrap their brains around, because you go, well, what about mirrors? In the realm of greater consciousness and dimensions, it's all perfect. Divine perfection unfolding easily and effortlessly and is loving and comforted, because there is so much more beyond this humanness. Most people don't think beyond that.
Go into a meditation and put all that away and do the what if. What if I was a perfect human being? What if angels were right next to me, right in front of me? What if? And play with that. Explore that. You're too busy exploring your past or reliving your past. Why not just try something different then?
Right. Try something different and don't get caught up. I did for a long time get caught up in my old stories. I mean, I did a million different kinds of therapy. I do believe in working with our belief systems to unravel them and unfold them, to open up that space into something more. I think that's important. For me, a large part of my life, when people, you know, they're like, let go. And I'm like, you freaking let go. Like, I've been trying to let go for, you know, 40 years. Like, that's not going to work. Right. I mean, I had a dark night of the soul after two hurricanes, you know, brought me across country. I lost everything. And I literally felt like I was hanging on the edge of a cliff in my dark night of the soul. My father had died. My whole identity was crumbling. I had dropped out of acupuncture school, no nursing. And I felt like I was hanging on the side of a cliff. And one of my friends was like, just let go and fly. And I'm like, F you do it. You know, I understand, you know, resistance. And so letting go and putting things aside are good. And for some people, they work. And for some people, there's other ways. To me, what I've learned is to really go in and learn how to love myself in that place of unconditional love. And when I'm there, then I can suspend those thoughts and beliefs. Because otherwise, we're still struggling to do something, to make something happen outside of ourselves. And we still feel separate from of trying and trying and trying. So everybody has to find their own way, I believe.
What way did you find when you were on that cliff? Can you share that?
Yeah, I mean, I eventually got to a place of acceptance and allowance of where I was at beyond the mind of trying to let go, a true acceptance and allowance, which was a step for me into self-love at that time of, okay, can I just love and appreciate where I am now at the edge of this cliff? It's another level of trust that if I let go and crash and burn, you know, I've crashed and burned before, fly from the ashes or something else. But it was work. I mean, I had to meditate. I spent 6 months. I called my family. I told everybody, you know, listen, I'm going through something. They knew I had gone through 2 hurricanes and lost everything. And I was like, I'm going through my stuff right now. You're probably not going to hear from me, but just know that I'm fine. I'm not going to be in contact like I was before. I'm not going to show up like I did before. You just need to know that I am fine and leave me the hell alone.
We all come in our different ways. And some people might be in that way that you talked about. You go in your room, you shut the door, you get on your knees and say, surrender. I surrender.
Right. And so I had to do all those things in a multitude of ways throughout my life and my journey to get to this place. And I think because that fire was lit in me as a little girl, as a little four-year-old that saw this amazing, radiant light in church of all places, you know, which I struggled with, you know, it has always been like, I know that's out there somewhere. I know there's more. And so, yeah, for me, it's been a long journey and miracles happen, you know, in different ways. Some people shift and get things instantaneously. I'm a person who doubted, you know, I had to work through it and understand it. So, you know, the angelic realms are here for all of us to call on them for assistance. And I didn't know that, even though they were out here, I didn't know it was as simple as, okay, I need some help. Please come in and help me. I didn't have that in my life to ask people that. So I didn't know how to ask it of the angelic realms, but it's that simple. To me, my experiences, they're non-denominational. They're across timelines and religions and spiritual belief systems. They're bigger than that. Those things are man-made and they're good for a lot of people, but the angelic realms are loving and benevolent and divine and here for us. And they're a breath away. And as close as just asking. I was told to shut up when I was a kid. Don't tell anybody anything. Do not speak. So for me, it's as simple as asking. Like, who knew? I didn't know that. You know, I had to learn it. And when people learn how to ask, they're here for us. They're here to support us and to guide us and to protect us and to comfort us and to know that we're not alone. It's a peaceful place to have that connection with the angelic realms. And for me, it's a great reminder of that unconditionally loving. And it reminds me, oh yes, I know that place in me. Come back into that place. Hold that inside. I had to work at it. So not everybody knows that place of unconditional love. And it's one of the beautiful things, I think, in a group angel session, that if people want to experience and have a taste of that, they can come to a session. And to be held in that place. And that's why some people come, they come for that community to be held in that place of unconditional love, because not everybody has had that experience in life. We can talk about it, but to experience it is something different. The angels hold us in that place in session. So that's why I love to be with them. I love to be a channel for them. This is my life and I love it. And I wouldn't give up an ounce of what it took to get here.
You know those times where you go, I know there's something out there, but it's not for me. Always use commas and not periods at the end of the sentence. I know it's not out there for me, comma, but I can go to this session and try it, comma. So just don't use a period at the end of your sentence, at the end of your path. I feel like right now the angels are just surrounding us on this podcast. I got goosebumps all over.
Right. So do I. That's beautiful. Yeah. Everybody has their own journey, and it's the journey within, and to keep going, because you can have a breakthrough in any way, shape, or form when you least expect it in your own way. Keep going. You can set yourself free. I wanted to be free of a brain tumor, and I wanted freedom inside of myself. I was like, if it takes me, 100 lifetimes, so be it. That doesn't mean there's not work for me to do, of course, because being human is that, but there's a sense and a level of freedom inside of myself.
Great way to end. We thank all the angelic realms for all that they do for us.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
All right. Thank you, Donna. This was beautiful. Thank you for this experience and having me here. And if anybody wants to find out more, they can go to angel-awareness.com, angelawareness.com, throw a hyphen in there. So
thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We publish our Exploring Consciousness podcast on the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of the second week of every month. Please check the podcast schedule and more on our companion website, exploreconsciousness.com. Thank you again for listening.